God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, previously read. In the name of Jesus, our glorious and our ascended Lord, dear fellow redeemed. Tell me, is there anybody else who's beginning to wonder what we're supposed to believe? I mean about coronavirus. It's like there's all this conflicting information. We're supposed to wear masks. Oh, you really don't need to. Oh, it only affects old people. Oh, no, it can strike children too. Oh, we need to get the economy going again. Oh, no, not so fast. We've kind of turned the corner now. Oh, it's going to get worse. And a lot of the advice we're hearing is coming from experts, people that are supposed to know what they're talking about, people that we want to believe. And when those ideas kind of contradict each other, it makes us wonder, what are we supposed to believe? Can we really be sure about anything? It's in times like these that we can begin to crave something that we can truly know for sure. Something that we can use to guide our thinking and our behavior. Something that we can cling to for all we're worth. Well, that something is found right here in God's Word. Against the backdrop of coronavirus and all the uncertainty surrounding it, the Apostle Paul brings us back to something that we can be sure of. Here in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul invites us to think about a question that will serve as our theme for today, namely, Christian, what do you No. First, a little background. In this letter, Paul begins by writing to the Christians in Corinth about some of the trials and tribulations, the persecution that he and his fellow apostles have been going through because they were ambassadors for Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, or 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for example, he writes, "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death." In other words, there were plenty of times where the Apostle Paul was pretty sure he was going to die. In fact, a little bit later, he recounts some of those events when he writes, "I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked." Can you imagine? I mean, if just one of those things happened to us, we'd probably be thinking, this is more than I can bear. And yet Paul bears up under it with patience. The question is how? How could he endure that kind of abuse with a positive attitude? How could he say about himself and his other companions in just before our text, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Paul's like a prize fighter who keeps getting knocked down and yet keeps getting off the mat. How? How did he do it? Well, he tells us here in our text for today. Paul begins by quoting the words of Psalm 116. Paul writes, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Actually, Paul is quoting King David, who was speaking in response to the fact that God had rescued him from great tribulation, and now David wanted to rejoice, wanted to praise God for that. David's point is, because God has done this for me, I can't help but telling other people about it. Paul says, the same is true for me. He goes on, it is with that same spirit of faith that we also believe and therefore speak. In other words, just as David praised God for rescuing him, so Paul and his companions praise God for what he has done and what they were trusting he would do in the future. The question is, what were Paul and his companions counting on? What did they know that God was going to do? Well, he tells us here in our text. Verse 14, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. Now, it'd be easy to just kind of pass right over that and say, well, yeah, I know that. Now, I want you to think about what Paul is saying. We know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, Paul's faith is not built on wishful thinking. Paul's not saying, boy, wouldn't it be nice if Jesus would still live? No, he's basing his faith, as we base our Christian faith, on a historic fact. Jesus of Nazareth was put to death and came back to life again. There is no event in ancient history that has more documentation than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now notice that Paul connects that fact to something in the future. We know that the one who raised Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. You realize how many times Paul connects Jesus' resurrection with the resurrection of all believers. For example, he talks about Jesus as the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Or he is the firstborn from the dead. It's always Jesus first, and then those who believe in him. In fact, even those words, he will raise us with Jesus. In the original language, that word with here doesn't refer to kind of this, you know, loose connection. You know, there's a correlation between these two things, kind of like the old timers like to say, there's a correlation between when the lilacs bloom and the white bass run, which, by the way, is like this weekend. His point here, even though there's a centuries of separation between Jesus' resurrection and our resurrection, in reality, they are intimately connected. Our resurrection is contained in Jesus' resurrection. Our resurrection, or rather his resurrection, guarantees our resurrection. Now, when you realize that fact, that Jesus' resurrection guarantees our resurrection, it allows us to build on that fact. And Paul here in our text brings out three things that we can know because of Jesus' resurrection. The first thing we can know as Christians, he tells us, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. What does that mean? Well, I don't think it takes a doctor's degree to realize that our bodies are basically wearing out. And even though we can maybe, you know, replace a hip or a knee. The fact is, the day's coming when the doctor's going to say, like, the parts for your model year are not made anymore. You realize that that may show up in different ways, right? It may show up in gray hair or loss of muscle mass. It may show up in eyesight that is dimming and cataracts that are developing or senior moments that become like the new norm. This is all a fulfillment of what Paul is talking about, that our outer selves are wasting away. It's really a fulfillment of what God told our first parents in the garden. Dust you are, and to dust you will return. But now contrast that, the fact that our bodies are subject to decay, with what Paul says here, that inwardly, really, literally, our inner selves are being renewed day by day. What does Paul mean by that? Is he saying that, you know, we need to do a kind of a self-purge? We need to kind of clean out our digestive tract? No, he's not talking about, you know, physical cleansing. He's talking about spiritual cleansing. He's talking about what God does in us through His Word and sacrament, washing away our sins, renewing us in His image, a clean heart and a new spirit, allowing us to see ourselves as He sees us in Christ, namely, holy, precious children of God. You realize what a blessing that is to be able to see those two things side by side, that on the one hand, outwardly, we're wasting away. Inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Sometimes people don't really see that clearly until the end of their lives, when it all comes into focus. I think of people like Jim Krieger, or Larry Koth, Don Comschles, all of whom were dying of cancer, and they knew it. Their bodies were wasting away, and yet their hearts were at peace. They were filled with joy because their souls were being renewed daily by God's promises, by God's love, by His compassion, by His guarantee of a glorious resurrection. You realize what those believers experienced in their dying days is something that we already get to apply to our lives today. It really brings us to the second thing we can know because of Jesus' resurrection. Paul says that we can know that our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, don't misunderstand those words. Paul is not saying that our earthly troubles earn us a spot in heaven. It's not like the lady who told me, you know, I think trouble in life is kind of like paying the rent. The more rent you pay down here, the better apartment you get up there. No, that is not what Paul is saying. Paul is simply drawing a contrast between what is momentary, namely our lives here on earth, and what is eternal, our lives in heaven. He's drawing a contrast between the lightness of our troubles and the weight of eternal glory. Now, I realize that there are plenty of times when the troubles in our lives don't feel light and momentary. if your parents just got a divorce, if you've begun your second year of chemotherapy, if you just buried your spouse, nothing feels light and momentary. But when we look at those trials and we put them on a scale, a balance, our earthly troubles and an eternity of life with no sin, no pain, no death, no sorrow, you realize which becomes light. It's what Paul said to the Romans. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. When we realize that, the eternal glory that awaits us, it allows us to change our perspective about life between now and then. Paul puts it this way. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What does that mean? We fix our eyes on what is unseen. What does that mean? We spend a lot of time thinking about microscopic viruses that we can't see. No, he's not talking about our physical eyes. He's talking about the eyes of our heart. He's talking about what we want to consider, what we want to spend time thinking about. What can we know as Christians? Paul tells us, we can know that what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Isn't that the truth? I mean, what we can see, what we have a tendency to focus on, our phones, our houses, our jobs, our looks, our IRAs, all of it is going to be left behind. We're not taking it with us. It's temporary. But what we can't see, our God, His love, His compassion, His presence, His heaven, it never ends. It can't be taken away from us. Friends, you see the gift that God has given us? I mean, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given us Christians the ability to see what can't be seen. He's given us the ability to know what the world doesn't know. He's given us the ability to believe what is true, what is life-changing. We may not know what to believe about coronavirus, but in God's Word, He gives us what we need to believe, what we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt. And it begins with Paul's words, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus. That fact, which God uses to continue to renew us inwardly, day by day, is what will make all of our earthly trials light and momentary as we compare them to the glory that will be ours in Jesus our Lord. Amen.